Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, we locked in, family. ATL, we locked in. New York City, we locked in. Chicago, we locked in. Norway, we locked in. Tokyo, Japan, we locked in. Where we at? Minnesota, oh, shout out Minnesota, we locked in. Denver, Colorado, we locked in. Peace and Life family. Chicago, we locked in.
ATL, Georgia, we locked in. Peace and Life family. Welcome to the Vane Verdict. Here to get a game service. And when the cause change, I ain't certain, but with this truth, it's going to make all the pain worth it, y'all. What I need is you. I need you to stand up right now and give yourself a round of applause for being great, man. For being who you are. You know what I mean? It's a beautiful day, man. It's a beautiful, random day. Hold on, I got me a K jumping in here. Hold on. Let me see what we're doing right here. Hello, Miss K. Stand by, love. But it's a beautiful day in the city, man. I can't say it's too beautiful. It's 100% rain right now, but it's still a beautiful day in the city because, you know, what a time to be alive. You know what I mean? What a time to be alive. What a time to be living. What a time to have the energies aligned. What a time to be. Any day on the vertical is a good day. What you think, Miss K?
Beautiful. I'm sorry. I was just reading from it. I seen some money signs on something. I had to read it right quick. My apologies, big brother.
Hey man, that's a bag. Ain't nothing wrong with the bag.
Oh my gosh.
What you saw?
I've seen the deal. Your boy Jimmy. I hope I'm saying his name right. Garoppolo. Garoppolo, him. He just made a $137 million deal with the 49ers. So they caught my attention.
Oh, okay. That shit crazy as hell though. And you know that done caused a lot of stir because, and you know they did that shit to really slapping Cole in the face.
Mm.
How his replacement get the highest paid in history?
You're right. For the 49ers. Okay, now I get you just saying. You're right.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? That don't even make sense. He the motherfucker did shit. What else he done did?
Terry.
But that's the point, man. Buddy, mm-hmm. Motherfucker tough.
They playing the dirty game, man. But anyways, I just want to tell the world how happy and blessed I am. If you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and share a little small, quick testimony about this whole last month. Me and my son, we just been sucking it out on Christmas Day. We lost everything, so we just kind of had to rebuild one day by day. And then tonight is our first night in our home. And I just never seen my son so excited, so happy. And I just thank God for the opportunity that we were able to come to our home because I know a lot of people, you know, yes.
Yeah.
You know, people lost their life and fires and stuff like that. So I'm just happy to be at home, y'all. You know, I just thank the highest spirit.
That's what's up, man. And that's what's up, man. And, you know, and like, you know, and I'm glad you came out with, want to let you, tell that to the people why you wasn't, you know, independent or whatever. But, and like I said, you know, we kept you on the sick and shut in list long enough.
I appreciate it. Yeah. That's what I did with that. And on top of that, I had to get some teeth pulled off. So I was down bad. I was sick. I was going through, you know what I'm saying? So I just been going through it this whole month. But, you know, I'm back and I'm better. I'm feeling great. You know, it's time to keep on pushing, you know?
And you know that I guess that's the thing about storms, right?
Mhm.
You know, storms, you know, there's always things we go through. You know, and I think that's something that people don't really take well, you know, or you know, really realize anything you're mm-hmm. going through in life, any, you know, trials and tribulations that may come across, those are just storms and how you're supposed to look at it. You know what I mean?
Period.
The same thing happens at the end of every storm. Forget how it goes. You're going to get wet going through it. That happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You're going to get wet.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to splash some mud. You're going to splash some mud up on your shoes and up on your pants or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But, man, you know what I mean? You get to come up out of that wardrobe when that new day emerges. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, you get new insight on things and that, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what's up, Miss K. You know what I mean? And we're going to give you one more round of applause for that.
I appreciate all the love for you. You know, you said that you checked up on me, made sure I was all right, made sure Lil Ann was all right. And I really appreciate you that as well, you know. That's what you don't realize who got your back until you're down and out. You know what I'm saying?
All you got to do is go through something to see who your real friends are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I went through it so many times, man. That's why I don't even be surprised no more.
Real shit. I'm dealing with that right now. Well, I guess I'm looking at it in another light.
Okay.
And then this is something we probably gonna have to, we're gonna probably have to address that another light as well, another topic about friends. You know, you see who your friends are when you're going through things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, I made a post earlier, on Instagram, you know, talking about, it was actually a repost. Said, well, it's two type of people in the world. Is those, it's two type of people in the world. Is those that got you and those that got you fucked up. You know what I'm saying? You got to sort them out. You deal with what I'm saying? And that's what made me think, man, this shit is so real, right? And that made me, you know, I had to do some analyzing on what I'm doing this top of the year. It's a new year. And we always say, you know, as a people, we're going into the new year with a new mindset, new attitude. You know, we're chasing, you know, maybe new dreams or taking new approaches on old dreams or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say it then, you know, and my caption in the post was like, you know, man, I got day one. I ain't seen since day two. You know what I'm saying? I know people that refuse to grow. I know some that don't grow up too fast. I know some that got a vision without direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, I had to capitalize the next word to everybody.
Yeah.
My plan is to move forward. If you're with me, stand beside me. Now, if you're influential enough to spearhead this ride, stand in front of me. If you choose to stand behind me, don't forget the direction I'm traveling. And I say that to say, like, man, you know, and it, you know, it all. You know, when you feel like, you know, you do a lot, you know what I'm saying? You know, as people, sometimes, you know, we carry a lot of people. You know, I know me, myself, I have a habit of that. I have a heart that probably going to end up, you know what I mean? I have a heart for about that. You know what I'm saying? I have a heart for a lot of shit, man. And, you know, but that thing can't be taken advantage of.
Period.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So now I'm trying not to go into it a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you said you were going to say that another time, man. We ain't going to get
to say it. Yeah, I'm going to say that for another time today while we're here. But yeah, man, I got a lot of, you know, relationships with, you know, friends and shit like that that should be at another level, man. But some people, you know, we have to understand, you know, people come in your life for seasons, man.
And reasons.
You know,
either season or
These know the reason, man. And sometimes, you know what I mean, you got to understand that once that season it up, it is what it is. You can outgrow people. That's relationships, that's friendships, all of that shit, man. You outgrow things. You know what I'm saying? Some shit ain't to be tolerated.
And I know, I used to say the prayer a while back. I said, Lord, reveal to me those who don't mean me no good, and please let them exit my life as soon as possible. And it's been working out. Reveal to me the fate. Those who don't mean me no good, just, you know, let them fall flat on their face. I can see the truth, you know.
Really,
like that's when you realize you're by yourself. You're rocking solo dolo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay. There we go.
We got, I don't know. Did you? I know. Well, you had a lot going on. You didn't. Did you have a chance to get some news topics or?
I got a couple of them right now. You know, I'm going crazy. You know.
Okay, we'll say no more. We're getting a little couple new topics in. I'm ready to get into this topic for tonight. This shit is like crazy. I'm getting more information as we speak. So we're going to get into some news for a minute.
Okay. Well, I must tell y'all right now, my favorite number one company who I got much, much respect for is got to be Amazon, because they stand the bar and they stand the standards. You know, like I told y'all once a while back that, you know, the owner of Amazon, he bypassed Bill Gates as far as money and profit and success goes. So now, today, they just announced that they're ordering like a delivery service, like a third party, you know, to do like third party items and stuff like that.
Delivery
service for businesses, you know, starting this fall, you know. So they said they got FedEx and UPS a little bit shook up, like, well, you know what I'm saying, what's going on? But, I mean,
because I remember when, around the Christmas holiday, after that Black Friday and all of that shit, that motherfucker shot up to an instant 100 billionaire. Some shit like that.
Just like that.
Oh, he made $100 million. I think it was something like that. I think he made $100 million in like 24 hours or some shit. For Amazon.com,
they said that's a UPS stock. They stopped there 5% just because of the piece behind that.
Oh.
They messing their revenue and their profit, so I don't know. I don't know that's gonna land. But you know, they're gonna always be in the game, you know, as far as that goes. But that's what we have for business today. Shout out to Amazon making major moves.
Staying
on top of it. Yep. So for all you Wire fans out there, I honestly don't cuss me out, don't snatch my black card from me. But I don't think I actually watched The Wire. I don't think I ever watched maybe one or two episodes of The Wire. And from what I'm hearing, Wire is probably one of the best shows ever put together. You know what I'm saying?
And Are you serious? You don't watch The Wire?
I don't think I have, because when the time it was out. Be honest with you, by age range,
okay.
I was just a teenager. I don't know, you know what I'm saying? So
I don't know.
I don't think I was able to watch it like that when it was out.
Get you some of that, man. Jump in that shit.
The actor called Reg E. Cappy, he passed away. He played the politician in there. If I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wow.
He was up. Yeah, he was 59 years old.
Wow, I didn't know that. Damn. Well, our condolences to the families, man.
Yes, definitely. He also played on House of Cards just recently after the Wire. Yeah,
yeah.
He was a newspaper, current Baltimore politician. He was Norman Wilson. That was the name of his captain, Norman Wilson. And he played on Oz too. He was on Oz and all. So they don't say what was the cause of death, if I'm not mistaken. So we're just going to leave it at that.
And so Damn, man.
Mm-hmm.
How old was he, B? Did you?
He was 59. Buddy was 59, so he was quite young.
Yeah.
I mean, young, but, you know, so soon,
yeah.
I guess, so to speak.
Well, I guess that's our age to die, I guess. You know, that's around our age.
Exactly. Yeah. I guess it's never too young. And so we already know Trump. If y'all know, if you guys keeping up the politics, but, you know, this old memo mess going around, you know, this Republican memo versus Democratic memo about some classified information. You know, Trump, he voted yes to release the Republican, but he voted no today to release the Democratic version of it. So he said no on that, you know, which is like, wow, really? You know what I'm saying? So, it's pretty much me and him.
He reneged, bro, to be real. That's basically what he did, man, in layman terms. Because the motherfucker said he was with it, he was going to sign off on the shit, and he reneged. Now that he bring it back and make some changes to it. That fake shit.
He's not a man of his word. We see that now. And speaking of Trump, did y'all see that bullshit that Omarosa came out with? Somebody, she got something to say, and the only thing she could say was some bullshit ass shit. I'm sorry for my lady. She's just a little clip, you know, she's on Big Brother now.
I've been trying to save face, man. It's over with, man. What you do? We ain't fucking with you.
She would never vote for him in a million years. He's crazy.
She's trying to save face.
You're right.
Okay. We straight over here.
You've been dismissed ASAP. Long time ago. Wow.
Trying to jump back over here on Black History Month. How you get fired from the White House, man? You on a reality show? Nah, we ain't playing like that.
Oh, you don't go on Big Brother. I thought she had some tea to spill. I thought she gonna say she was sucking his dick or something. I'm sorry. I thought that she gonna say
That's what I'm saying. You said that. Did she say that in an interview though? When she was coming out of the White House on her exit interview, she knows some shit. Like, yeah, man, come on with the game, man. And you end up on Big Brother, bro. You don't know that, y'all. You ain't talking about that.
Why was she whispering though? She in there whispering and shit. I'm like, bitch, you know you got a mic on. Why are you whispering? She's talking to, I forgot the dude's name, who she was speaking to. But she was talking to him and they were whispering to each other. I'm like, what the hell doing? So, yeah, that was for her. In the White House, they were so shady. They was like, she got fired from the princess three times. This her fourth.
This is what I'm saying, like, If Omarosa knew anything or had any information like that, she wouldn't be on no Big Brother show right now.
Mm.
You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, if she knew anything, like, just be real. Government said there's no way, and that shit would not be aired. Like, she wouldn't have said that much, like, right now. She don't know, man. She ain't no threat to the government. You know what I mean? Like, I know that shit worked a different way. You feel what I'm saying? I don't watch Scandal enough. I know how this shit go.
My girl, she's showing out.
So
that's what we have for Miss
Omarosa.
Well, that's all I got for you, I guess.
Say no more. That's all we need in the week. Goddamn, family.
Folks are shocking.
Lord have mercy, man. Hey, man, let me tell you something, man. One thing about this shit, family, why I do this, is the reason why we here, man. I'm talking about keeping up with the Joneses. Man, let me tell you something. As an artist, you know, everybody know, you know, I'm an aspiring a lot of things. I'm an aspiring artist, aspiring actor. I'm an aspiring whatever this is, radio personality, I guess, whatever all this shit is, right? You know, but my music, man, music, that's my first love. The music always have been. And I got to be honest, man, one of the most influential people craving creativity, I got to say, is Quincy Jones. Not direct, mainly because of some of the artists and things he was responsible for make it happen, like the great Michael Jackson, who's, to me, will forever be the greatest of all time. And that's why you got all these replicas and duplicates now, just in different versions, in a different generation. But Michael Jackson is the greatest of all time, no question. But goddamn, family. That boy Quincy Jones, man, let me tell you something about Quincy Jones, man. Quincy Jones ain't bullshitting out here in these streets, BK. Couple of days ago, unless y'all motherfucker been sleep under a rock, but a couple of days ago, this my great music mogul, the legendary icon Quincy Jones, did an interview with Vulture TV that's been had social media and the internet in the uproar, family, because my brother exposed some things that I ain't never been exposed to in the magnitude that this came out in my life. Now, this is the kind of shit. Now, normally in my ordinary everyday life, family, this type of shit wouldn't even entertain me, because it's considered a lot of, taking this type of shit in is a lot. But gratefully, in this field that we in this podcast world, this shit is a lot of juice, my G. I ain't bullshitting with you, man. You know what I mean? You talking about locker room, barbershop, hair salon, nail shop, or this is the kind of conversation right here. You want to hear the truth about some shit, family, you got to go to an old motherfucker. You know, two people in the world that will never lie to you. That's a child and an old mother. Well, I don't know. I know some old motherfucker that lie like here, and I know some kids that lie. You know what? Whoever made that statement didn't really know what the fuck they were talking about.
But, old person that said a child in my drunk.
Fact. Okay, cool. Now, I don't know if my brother Quincy Jones was drunk when he did his interview, family. But yeah, man, this shit here, like, hey, this shit live, man. For real. Miss K, how you wanna do this? Did you get a chance to check the interview out?
Yeah, I checked a little snippet. I checked the majority of the main points on it, but you know, it's like 1,001 questions. So what I will do, I can pull some questions out, and you know, what people, what they ask, what vote, you know, what vote them ask him. I mean, Vulture. I'm sorry. And I could just read some back of the ones that didn't catch the interview about it. Cause,
can you pull it up?
Yeah.
Pull it up. I can pull it up too. I don't know how you want to do it.
Huh? Yep. I'm looking at it now. You know the questions. You know. Yeah. But I guess.
Let's start at the top, man. The rundown. Let's get it.
He said he ain't got nothing to be scared of, man. That's what he told him. He said he ain't got nothing to be scared of. He don't care. He said his Bel Air home, and he dished out some major tea. And I tell you, like I said, the cup runneth over.
Man.
Yeah. But yeah. So of course, the first conversation kind of started off with Michael Jackson. You know, the interview. He said, you know, you work with Michael Jackson more than anyone.
you know, he wasn't related to. He said, what's something people don't understand about him? And he pretty much called him a thief, pretty much. Rest in peace to the great Michael. He said, I had to get publicly, but Michael stole a lot of stuff. He stole a lot of songs. Donna Summer, State of Independence, and Billie Jean, The Notes Don't Lie Man. He was a Machiavellian as they come.
Facts.
I might say their name wrong. I don't think it's Machiavellian.
Machiavellian, yeah, you said it right. Yeah,
okay,
that's correct.
Okay. Thank you, appreciate you. Mm-hmm. So what you think about that, man? What's up?
Hold on. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. I'm sorry. I was pulling it up. Okay, yeah, we good. Yeah, I see where you at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. So, like, and he was saying, like, you know, don't stop till you get enough. That
mm-hmm.
song, you know, everybody know that's a big classic. Greg Siliganis wrote the C-section to that song, and he's saying Mike was supposed to pay him 10% of a song, but he wouldn't do it. I'm
mm-hmm.
like, man, like, you can't. Like, he kind of put Mike in the light, like, damn, man, Mike would cut through, right? I thought he was this soft motherfucker that wasn't in control of his shit.
Mm-hmm. Nah, he said, bro, was a thief. Well, look, in my opinion, you know, whatever he stole, it would have been, I don't think the other person would have executed more better than he did. It, you know, them tight situations. Because he's just because he's the Michael Jackson. But, I mean, from what I'm hearing, a lot of stuff like that happened back in that time. A lot of songs would have been meant for a certain person, and people just snagged. You know, even today, it happens a lot. So, I mean, to call him a thief, I mean, I'm pretty sure, I don't know, back in that time, you had to get some type of permission or some legal look, because I'm pretty sure old boy would have sued or something. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But, hey,
mm-hmm.
he told and got away with it. So, like, obviously, until now. I mean, maybe other people already know about it.
Yeah. And then he said, so the interviewer go on to ask him, said, so what about outside of music? What's misunderstood about Michael? Quincy responds, I used to kill him about the plastic surgery, man. He'd always justify to say it was because of some disease he had. Bullshit. Interviewer, how much were his problems wrapped up with fame? Quincy, you mean the way he looked? He had a problem with his looks because his father told him he was ugly and abused him. I mean, what do you expect? Damn.
Mm.
I mean, we kind of knew Joe was on that fuck shit anyway. You know what I mean? So yeah, we kind of knew. So, like, you know, that picture was painted of Joe anyway, that he was all up on my dad. But see, Quincy kind of told, I didn't know that shit. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know that shit. I always thought that Mike did that shit because of a disease he had.
Yeah, like, yeah. They said he had, vertigo?
Yeah, vertigo or some shit. Is that it? Vertilago?
I know it's a V and so in the end. And the L somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, you told me.
Okay, but Vertilago. Anyways, yeah, I thought that was what he had. So he, I mean, but they explained his whole nose operation now. You know what I'm saying?
I understand the kid. Yeah, I'm saying, man, that was bullshit. The nigga that was, he was soft, had a complex because of how their dad fucked him up mentally.
The
interviewer goes on. It's such a strange juxtaposition how Michael's music was so joyous, but his life just seems sadder and more odd as time goes by. Quincy's response, yes,
But at the end of Michael's problem was propofol.
The shit that
killed him. And that problem affects everyone. Doesn't matter if you're famous. Big Pharma making Oxycontin and all that shit is a serious thing. I was around the White House for 8 years with the Clintons, and I learned about how much influence Big Pharma has. It's no joke. What's your sign, man? Interviewer, Pisces, Quincy. Me too. It's a great sign. Interviewer, you just mentioned the Clintons, who are friends of yours. Why is there still such a visceral dislike of them? What are other people not seeing in Hillary, for example, that you see? Quincy, it's because there's a side of her. Well, when you keep secrets, they backfire. Interviewer, like what secrets? Quincy, this is something I shouldn't be talking about. Interviewer, you sure seem to know a lot, man. Quincy, I know too much, man. Interviewer, what's something else you wish you didn't know? Quincy, who killed Kennedy? Interviewer, who did it? Quincy, Chicago mobster Sam. I'm gonna fuck this name up, Van Verde Podcast. I'm gonna fuck this
Giancana.
Name up.
Giancana.
Okay, cool. I gotta find somebody else to say that shit. Chicago mobster. Okay, interviewer, who did it? Chicago mobster Sam Giancana. The connection was there between Sinatra and the Mafia and Kennedy. Joe Kennedy, he was a bad man. He came to Frank to have him talk to Giancana about getting votes, which is crazy as hell to me. I'm like, fucking Frank Sinatra, the singer? But see, you got to think about the years and the time. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The 60s and shit, when that mob shit was real. You know what I mean? So... That's why I say a lot of this shit this brother was saying, Chris was saying, man, it's hard to contest it. You can't say it's bullshit. You feel what I'm saying?
And yeah, you know what happened to old boy? He ended up getting murdered right before he was supposed to testify in front of the committee. He ended up getting murdered.
Yeah, everybody. So. Oh, fucking right.
Of course. He come up missing. So.
Yeah.
All right, proceed, my brother. I guess this is crazy. He's doing all of
you. Hey, man, it gets better. Interview. Hello, all right, quick. Let me just see. I see your family. I see everybody's family, but that ain't what we're doing right now. That ain't what we're doing right now, family. We're going to stay where we at. We're going to stay where we at. I'm talking to them. They're hitting me in the message board. Interviewer, I've heard this story before, that the mob helped win Illinois for Kennedy in 1960. Quincy, we shouldn't talk about this publicly. Where you from, man? Interviewer, Toronto. I was at the Massey Hall show. Really? The Charlie Parker concert with Mingus and those guys. Yeah, man. I saw the contract after. The whole band made $1,100. I'll never forget that. At the time, it was just another gig. It wasn't historical like with Woodstock. Tinto Puente told me he wanted to go out to that gig. Those festivals ain't my thing. Elon Musk keeps trying to get me to go to Burning Man, you know? No, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But who knew what Woodstock would turn out to be? Jimi Hendrix was out there fucking up the national anthem.
Jimi Hendrix, rest in peace.
I like, damn, man, Jimi fuck up the national anthem. That's one of the only clips we've all ever seen of Jimi Hendrix. You know what I'm saying? At the Woodstock.
I guess Cliff's a hard man to please, boy.
Yeah, I think we call that music, though, but you know what I mean? He's a fucking goat, man. It's eerie, like, you know what I mean? It's undeniable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Man, I'm so beans around.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So the interviewer asked, wasn't him just supposed to play at Walla Matata?
Mm-hmm.
Question. he was supposed to play on my album, and he chickened out. He was nervous to play with the Twos, the Thelmans, Herbie Hancock, Hubert Laws, and Roland Kirk. Those were some scary motherfuckers. Twos was one of the greatest soloists that ever fucking lived. The cats on my records were the baddest cats in the world, and Hendrix didn't want to play with them.
Mm-hmm.
But see, all of us, man, Jimi Hendrix was one of the best to ever live. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Question tough, bro. What'd you think when you first heard rock music? I tell you what, man, Ken, you looking at it too?
I am.
So you read the question, and I'm going to read what's her name? Quincy.
Okay, cool. So what you think when you first heard rock music?
Rock ain't nothing but a white version of rhythm and blues, motherfucker. You know I met Paul McCartney when he was 21.
What was your first impressions of the Beatles?
That they were the worst musicians in the world. They weren't no playing motherfuckers. Paul was the worst bass player I ever heard. And Ringo, don't even talk about it. I remember once we were in the studio with George Martin and Ringo, had taken 3 hours for a 4-bar thing, and he was trying to fix on the song. He couldn't get it. We said, mate, why don't you get some larger and live? Why don't you get some lager and lime, some shepherd's pie, and take an hour and a half and relax a little bit? So he did. And we called Ronnie Varell, a jazz drummer. Ronnie came in for 15 minutes and tore it up. Ringo come back and said, George, can you play it for one more time? So George did, and Ringo said, that didn't sound so bad. And I said, yeah, motherfucker, because it ain't you. Great guy, though. Look, let me tell you something, man. Let me tell you something. Our Caucasoid family out there. I know y'all don't like this shit right here.
Mm-mm.
Not the Beatles, bro. The Beatles.
He just shitted on
them boys. He said they shitted on them like straight up. He said it worst band of all time, man.
Paul was the worst bass player I ever heard.
That's crazy, man.
Were there any rock musicians you thought were good?
I used to like Clapton's band, what they were called. What were they called?
Prince.
Yeah, they could play. But you know who sings and plays just like Hendrix?
Who?
Paul Leonard.
Stop it. The Microsoft guy?
Yeah, man. I went on a trip on his yacht, and he had David Crosby, John Walsh, and Sean Lennon. All those crazy motherfuckers. Then on the last 2 days, Stevie Wonder came on his band and made Paul come up and play with him. He's good, man. That's fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Jimi Hendrix, damn, man, he kind of really blew the bro down. Like, I don't know if that was pulling the Microsoft dude up. Or pull it Jimmy down.
That's hard to say. So you hang out in these elite social circles and doing good has always been important to you. But are you seeing such concern for the poor as you like from the ultra rich?
No. The rich are not doing enough. They don't fucking care. I came from the street and I care about these kids who don't have enough because I feel I'm one of them. These other people don't know what it feels like to be poor, so they don't care.
Are we in a better place as a country than we were?
Hey, look, that was some real shit he said right there, though. I'm going to be honest with you. That was some real shit he said right there.
That was very humble. Show his humility as a man to say that. Because when he said, I feel I'm one of them, he just let him know that because he know at the end of the day that money don't mean nothing. It's just think you're in a different status, but they still look at you as the same. And you probably got more money than them.
Yeah.
It just, you know what the rich you're speaking of, you know. There's only, you know, not too many of us in that, and many of us in that class. So, you know, the rich aren't doing enough, and they're still, standing today. So where were you when you started doing humanitarian work 50 years ago?
No, we were the worst ever been. But that's why we were saying people try and fix it. Feminism, women are saying they're not going to take it anymore. Racism, people are fighting it. God is pushing the bad in our face to make people fight back. That's real shit.
We've obviously been learning more lately about just how corrosive the entertainment industry can be for women. As someone who's worked in that business in the highest levels for so many years, do all the recent revelations come as a surprise?
No, man. Women had to put up with the fucked up shit. Women and brothers, we're both dealing with the glass ceiling. Damn, man, you got a little old age, man. That's why you got a little old age, man. Older people don't give a fuck, family. They gonna say it, man. Go ahead, man, K, cause I'm finna get real. Let's get it. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Hold on, don't move. Don't nobody move, because it finna get real. Norway, I see you. Tokyo, I see you. Chicago, we see you. New York, we see you. Atlanta, we see you. Denver, Colorado, we see you. Peace of life, family. It's about to get real. Stay right there where you at, Miss K. Matter of fact, hold what you got, Miss K. We're going to take a pause for a second. Okay? It's about to turn up in 1 second.
Okay.
Let me see something right quick. I'm going to make sure. Let me see. Because my man want to come in and chime in. But hold on. Let me see what your intentions are, brother. Because we all on the air. We live, nigga. And I don't need no help with this shit. You did. You don't need no help with this shit. You did. Okay. Hold on. Let me see what my brother's coming back. Come in. Ladies and gentlemen, Vain Verdi is being brought to you by www.coatdripping.com. Long live everything, relaunching 2018. Streetwear and apparel and more, exclusive streetwear and apparel and more. That's www.coatdripping.com. We are culture. Atlanta Custom Apparel. You need vinyl sublimation, need screen print done, want to put your RIP homies on the t-shirt, go over Atlanta Custom Apparel, holler at my brother Daoud, 1130 Euclid Avenue, right in these little 5 points, open Sunday through Thursday from 12 to 7, Friday, Saturday, stand open at 8 o'clock, y'all, again, Atlanta Custom Apparel, right in little 5 points, at 1130 Euclid Avenue, EULCLID Avenue. Chris Smith, multimedia.weebly.com. Logo designs, fly designs, brochures, book designs, editing, graphics. You like the graphics you seen on the Vain Verdi YouTube channel? How about the graphics you seen on the Instagram? You feeling that on the Facebook? All that's being brought to you by my brother Chris Smith, multimedia.weebly.com. Again, Chris Smith, multimedia.weebly.com. Blue Seas Express and Catering, Monday through Thursday, 11 to 8, Friday to Saturday, Friday and Saturday, 12 to 10, Sunday, 12 to 5, 890 Joseph E. Boone Boulevard, Atlanta, Georgia, 30314, Blue Seas Express and Catering. We're talking about doing for self. We're doing for self. Come visit George Supermarket, 766 Joseph E. Boone Boulevard, Atlanta, Georgia, 30314. Your supermarket, 766 Joseph E. Boone Boulevard, Atlanta, Georgia, 30314. Remember the teachings of the messenger Elijah Muhammad, as related in the Holy Quran. O men, eat the lawful and good things from what is in the earth, and follow not the footsteps of the devil. Man, you can follow me right down to your supermarket, 766 Joseph E. Boone Boulevard, 30314. Follow the Vain Verdi, Facebook, at the Vain Verdi, Twitter, at the Vain Verdi, Instagram, the_Vain_Verdi,
Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 p.m. Divine Verdict, blogtalkradio.com/Divine Verdict. Peace and life, family. Okay, cool. Okay, cool. Right back where it left, Miss Kay.
Yes, yes.
Say no more. That's, y'all, look, I want to learn my lesson before we continue on where we at. Y'all got to understand, man. You know what I mean? We're going to keep a certain structure over here at the Vain Radio Podcast. Now, if you on that fuck shit, we done experienced that before. But, guys, I'm not letting that fly this round, fellas. I apologize. You want to just come in here and talk your shit and all that old extra shit? We're going to do that on a later date. We'll do that at another time. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah, that will be order. That will be order. Get it?
Okay.
Right back where we left off, Miss K. We on my brother Quincy Jones. Because it's about to get real. Let's get it.
Yes, it is. but what about the alleged behavior of a friend of yours, like Bill Cosby? Is it hard to square what he's been accused of with the person you know?
It was all of them. Brett Ratner, Harvey Weinstein. Weinstein, he's a job motherfucker. Wouldn't return my phone calls, a bully.
What about Cosby, though?
What about it?
Were the allegations, they surprised you?
We can't talk about this in public, man.
I'm sorry to jump around.
Be a Pisces, yeah?
If you could snap your fingers and fix one problem in the country, what would it be?
Racism. I mean, I've been watching it a long time, the 30s to now. We've come a long way, but we've got a long way to go. The South has always been fucked up, but you know where we stand. The racism in the North is disguised. You never know where you stand. That's why what's happening now is good, because people are saying they are racist who didn't used to say it. Now we know.
Is it all about Trumpism?
It's Trump and uneducated redneck. Trump is just telling them what they want to hear. I know.
Mm-hmm.
I used to hang out with him. He's a crazy motherfucker. Limited mentally. A megalomaniac. A narcissist. I can't stand him. I used to date Ivanka, you know. Now, for those that don't know.
Really?
For those that don't know. Ivanka. It's Donald Trump's daughter. For those that don't know. Continue, Ms. Kay.
Wait, really?
Yes, sir. 12 years ago, Tommy Hilfiger, who was working with my daughter, Kadada, said, Ivanka wants to have dinner with you. I said, no problem. She's a fine motherfucker. She had the most beautiful legs I ever saw in my life. Wrong father, though. God damn.
Would your friend Oprah be a good president?
Shit. I don't think she should run. She doesn't have the chops for it. If you haven't been governor of a state or CEO of a company or a military general, you don't know how to lead people. Why y'all the rest of y'all must... Wow, the rest of y'all motherfucker behind them.
I kept quiet on them. I'm like, nah. But she is a CEO of a company.
A symphony conductor who knows more about how to lead than most business people, more than Trump does. He don't know shit. Someone who knows about real leadership wouldn't have as many people against him as he does. He's a fucking idiot. Damn.
Is Hollywood as bad with race as the rest of the country? I know when you started scoring films, you would hear producers say things like they didn't want a bluesy score, which was clearly code speak. Are you still encountering that kind of racism?
It's still fucked up. 1964, when I was in Vegas, there were places I wasn't supposed to go because I was black, you know, but Frank Sinatra fixed that for me.
It takes individual efforts like that to change things. It takes white people to say to other white people, do you really want to live as a racist? Is that really what you believe? But every place is different. When I go to Dublin, Bono makes me stay at his castle because Ireland is so racist. Bono's my brother, man. He named his son after me.
Damn.
That's dope. That's crazy.
That's crazy. Didn't even know that. Is YouTube still making good music?
Why not? I don't know. I love Bono with all my heart, but there's too much pressure on the band. He's doing good work all over the world. Working with him and Bob Geldof on Debt Relief was one of the greatest things I ever did. It's up there with We Are the World.
There's a small anecdote in your memoir about how the rock musicians who've been asked to sing We Are the World were gripping about the song. Is there more to that story?
It wasn't the Rockers. It was Cyndi Lauper. She had a manager come over to me and say the Rockers don't like this song. I know how that shit works. We went to see Springsteen, Hall & Oates, Billy Joel, and all those cats that they said we love the song. So I said, Lauper, okay, you can just get your shit over with and leave. And she was fucking up every take because her necklace or bracelet was rattling in the microphone. She was just her that they had the problem.
Oh my gosh. What's something you worked out on worked on that should have been even bigger?
What the fuck are you talking about? I've never had that problem. They were all big. Hey, let me tell y'all something. That was probably the most gangster shit I done heard, man. That was probably the most gangster response to that question. For real. Yeah, you talking about, nigga, I ain't never made no dough. Which is a fucking fact, man. A lot of producers can't say that shit, man. That man ain't never made no duds, man. His whole career. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
How about a musician who deserves more acclaim?
Come on, man. The Brothers Johnson, James Ingram, Kevin Campbell. Every one of them went straight through the roof.
From a strictly musical perspective, what have you done that you're most proud of?
That anything I can feel, I can notate musically. Not many people can do that. I make a band play like singer sing. That's what arranging is, and it's a great gift. I wouldn't trade it for shit, man.
A few years back, there was a quote you supposedly gave. I couldn't find the source of it, so maybe it's apocryphal. Where you dismissed rap as being a bunch of four-bar loops, is that an opinion you stand by?
That's true about rap. That's the same phrase over and over again. The ear has to have the melody groomed for it. You have to keep your ear candy going because the mind turns off when the music doesn't change. Music is strange that way. You got to keep the ear busy. And that's fire, though. That's a real shit, man. That's a real producer right there. He right there because rap, really, the music-wise, sonically, it don't really have a melody.
Mm-hmm.
That's why guys like Kendrick Lamar, you know what I mean? Kendrick mainly, as opposed to everybody. Really challenges
mm-hmm.
it suddenly with the music. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It ain't just one track, it a beat, and then the beat is different on the hook. Like, that man really have melodies and things in this shit, man. So I really
mm-hmm.
I put that's a real awesome producer answer to that question.
Understood. Okay, then. What's up? Is there an example?
Yeah,
from that,
No. No, not in there. Not 100, but it's a lot of questions.
Well, I see another question. They say, what happened on the Color Purple that caused your breakdown? Oh, I ain't know you had a breakdown on the Color Purple.
Nah. Let's see, we won't.
Quincy Jones. He said he's not a religious man at all.
I'm going to scroll all the way down, so we want to get into this. I need to get the people on this Marlon Brando shit. Because, Sam, basically, I want to find it, but the Better Vision is saying that it's about Marlon Brando. Wait a minute. Okay, cool. I found it. Ms. K, there's a question down. Scroll all the way down. Let's start with you're talking about business.
Business?
It said the question starts when the interviewer says you're talking about business, not music.
Oh, okay. I see it.
Let's start right there.
All right. You're talking about business, not music. But, and I mean this respectfully, don't some of your thoughts about music fall under the category of back in my day?
Music principles exist, man. Musicians today can't go all the way with the music because they haven't done their homework with the left brain. Music is emotion and science. You don't have to practice emotion because that comes naturally. Technique is different. If you can't get your finger between 3 or 4 and 7 and 8 on the piano, you can't play. You can only get so far without technique. People limit themselves musically, man. Do these musicians know tango, macumba, Yoruba music, samba, bossa nova, salsa, cha-cha?
Maybe not the cha-cha.
Shit, Marlon Brando used to go cha-cha dancing with us. He could dance his ass off. He was the most charming motherfucker you've met. He'd fuck anything. He'd fuck a mailbox. James Baldwin, Richard Pryor, Marvin Gaye.
He slept with him? How do you know that?
Come on, man. He did not give a fuck. You like Brazilian music?
Yeah. I don't know how much beyond George Ben and Gilberto Gil.
Gilberto Gil, Caetano Veloso are the kings. You know, I visit the favelas every year. Those motherfuckers have a hard life. They're tough, though. You think our shit in America's bad? It's worse there.
I read that as a young man. You used to carry around a 32.
Yeah.
Did you ever fire?
Snitching like a motherfucker, boy. He was snitching like hell, yeah, boy. This is crazy, man. Yeah.
At what?
Just practicing.
Okay, let me ask you a left field question. In your memoir, there's a section where you talk about
being a dog?
That's not what I was thinking of, but yeah, that's in there. Section where you describe having a nervous breakdown not long after Thriller. You talk so often about your ups. I wonder if maybe you can talk about your downs, one of your downs.
Well, what happened was that I was a producer on The Color Purple. Spielberg and me are still great friends, man. He's a great fucking guy. I love working with him.
Yep, but what happened on The Color Purple? It caused your breakdown.
What happened was that I was a producer on that movie, and everybody went on vacation after we finished filming. Everybody except me. I had to stay home and write an hour and 55 minutes of music for the movie. I was so fucking tired from doing that, I couldn't see. I put too much on my plate, and it took its toll. You learn from your mistakes, and I learned I couldn't do that again. I didn't even know that he did the music score for Color Purple. I didn't even know that.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, but I didn't even know he did that score for that.
And that's my favorite movie of all time, to be honest with you. What's the last mistake you learned from?
My last record, 2010, Soul Bossa Nosa. I was not in favor of doing it, but the rappers wanted to record some as a tribute to me. But they do versions of songs that I'd done over my career. I said to them, look, you got to make the music better than we did on the originals. That didn't happen. T-Pain, man, he didn't pay attention to the details. Damn, T-Pain.
That's crazy. I think I lost a spot, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there we go. All right, we're with me. What's something positive you've been feeling about music lately?
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah, you changed me then. Hello. Yeah, you fucked me up there. Okay, cool. Understanding where it's come from. It's fascinating. I was on a... Huh?
I said, that's Quincy right there.
Yeah. Understanding where it come from. Fascinating. I was on a trip with Paul Allen a few years ago. And I went to the bathroom and there were maps on the wall of how Earth looked a million and a half years ago. Off the coast of South Africa, where Durban is, was the coast of China. The people had to be mixing, and you hear it in the music, in the drums of both places. There are African qualities to Chinese music, Japanese music too, with Dakota drumming. It's all come from Africa. It's a heavy thing to think about, man.
You're about to turn 85. Are you afraid of the end?
No.
What do you think happens in Japan?
And you know what? I thought that was so powerful. That with all the shit that he done said in his interview and everything that he done came out. But when that interviewer asked him, you know, you about to turn 85. Are you afraid of dying? He said his response was no, with a period behind it. It wasn't no, because, comma, none of that. It's just no. I love it. I just thought that it was so dope.
I dig on that. What do you think happens when you pass?
You just gone.
Are you religious?
Mm-hmm. No, man, I knew too much about it. I knew Romano Mussolini, the jazz piano player, the son of Benito Mussolini. Man, we used to jam all night. And he'd tell me about where the Catholics were coming from. The Catholics have a religion based on fear, smoke, and murder. And the biggest gimmick in the world is confession. You tell me what you did wrong and it'll be okay. Come on. And almost everything, and almost everywhere you go in the world, the biggest sources are the Catholic Church. Money, man, it's fucked up.
On the subject of money, I have a crass question. You spent the first half of your career working in jazz, which isn't especially lucrative. When did you start to make serious money?
When I started producing after Leslie Gore, I was the first black vice president at a record label, Mercury Records, which was great, except they meant they didn't pay me for a producer. You know how they do. You know your country. But after that, in the 70s, that when I started producing for other artists and then with Michael, of course, that made me a lot of money. And big money came from TV producing The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That was huge for me. Mad TV was on 14 years. That syndication money is great, man.
How much did your upbringing, the difficulties kids with your mother and growing up in poverty, affect how you perceive success?
Of course it affected it. I mean, I appreciate it. I have, because I know what it's like to have nothing.
What about having a fractured family? How did that change you?
And, you know, same as with money, man. I appreciate what I got.
How often do you think about your mother?
All the time. She died in the mental home. A brilliant lady, but she never got the help she needed. Her dementia, whatever, could have been cured with vitamin B, but she couldn't get it back because she was black. Damn, that's fucked up.
When you think about
her
now,
that was back in those times, though. You know what I mean? We would deny a lot of you know medical insurance and shit.
That's crazy.
That I wish I could have been closer to her. What happened to her for the kids? That's a bitch.
What's the most ambitious thing you have done to do?
Quest TV. Everybody excited about it. It's going to be a musical Netflix. That shit going to be dope. But it's the best music from every genre around the world. So if the kids want to hear something great, oh, shit. I'm sorry. I lost my place again.
It's okay. We're at the very, very bottom.
Oh, yeah, we are. What was the question? Where you was at?
Yep, what's
okay,
the most ambitious thing you could have seen? Last question, pretty much.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, Quincy here right outside. It's the best music ever genre around the world. So if kids want to hear something great, it'll be right there for them. I can't believe I still get be involved in things like this. I stopped drinking 2 years ago, and I feel like I'm 19 years old. I've never been so creative. I can tell you, man. What a life. That's crazy, though, that this motherfucker stopped drinking only 2 years ago, and this nigga is 84.
And what he mean by being creative? What he doing again? He flipping in the bedroom or something? He flipping around.
I know. Right? Yeah, I've never been so creative. Like, nigga, you made all this shit, nigga. Thriller out, nigga. It's over.
Right.
But
that's
hey,
crazy.
Man, let me tell you something.
We needed that, though. We needed
shit,
that.
Man.
True. Shout out to my granddad.
I don't think they should never interview, you know. Damn, my nigga, that shit's crazy, bro.
I can see Sissy Tyson talking about doing something like that, too. She up in
yeah,
80,
that's
her 90. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 702. Okay, they bounced up out. See, that's why I don't like bringing y'all ass in this motherfucker.
Uh-oh. Wasting nigga time.
Man, all right, so... Overall, Mick K, what you think, Mick K? So that shit was that was a lot, man.
Yeah, like I said, it was something that was needed. You know, we all need the truth every now and then. You know, so like I said, it was needed. I'm happy. He lived that age where he's able to say that he's lived one hell of a life. You know, he's a legend, Quincy Jones. You know what I'm saying? He's up there. He's in a league of his own, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? TV shows, music, albums, all that, all the above, you know? So he don't sing a lot, so there's much wisdom coming out of him. And I believe everything he said and everything he said is in his
So, look, did you, what about the Marlon Brando shit, you know, about him he'll fuck a male, he'll fuck anything. He fucked Brett Ratner, he fucked James Baldwin, he fucked Richard Pryor. What are your thoughts on that?
Hey, back in the day, there's a lot of freaky things going on. Like they say, that cocaine is one hell of a drug. So, I mean, hey, I wouldn't be surprised.
They was on them cocaine and Quaaludes and shit. Back in the 70s. But see,
right.
Look. And it was so crazy because yesterday, right?
Uh-huh.
Man, for everybody to know, this story broke like 2-3 days ago. But yesterday, the widow of the great, you know, the late Richard Pryor, she got on and basically confirmed, you know, Mr. Pryor did lead that double bisexual lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I like, man, like, what you mean, bro? What you mean you did all that? Damn.
Spilling my ear, my son, the tea.
Yeah.
Will she get? Ain't she gonna like write a book at the end of this year?
Yeah.
Richard Pryor. She's gonna write a book or something at the end of this year.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, at this point, but see, I'm wondering what happened to that movie though, man. Like, I know that shit is in it now, man. Damn. You know what? I don't even know if I want to see this shit no more now.
Wow.
Mike, you know, they were supposed to have been starting production on it, but Something. They probably started production on it, and something happened.
Uh-oh. Shut that shit down.
Kyle, are you in?
Hey, greetings. I'm here, but I didn't expect you to open up my line. I was just listening. But now that you've opened my line, dear brother, I want to comment on the situation. Is that okay with you?
Why not?
Okay, so listen. I'm going to put you all up on game. Not that you are not already up on game, but I want to open your eyes to something. Now, listen to me clearly. What does Richard Pryor, Marlon Brando, and Marvin Gaye have in common? What do those three men have in common?
They were skinny.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
I said something ignorant. I said they all were skinny.
They're all deceased. They're all deceased. Is that what you said?
That's a fact. Well, yeah, they are.
No, I said skinny.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Let me just go on into what I need to say. Okay, firstly, all three of these men are deceased. Secondly, these are men who were extremely popular. Okay, I want you to understand that. Now, I need you to understand that right now, this density that we live in is no longer the same as it was 5 years ago, where if you got ready to write a book, you know, the publishing company, you know, could pull some tricks out the bag. Your book could be boring and it could be some bullshit, but you could get on the bestsellers list simply by them working out some bullshit contracts with the media and different newspaper conglomerates saying the book was awesome. But now that we have the advent of the internet and social media is really blazing and buzzing, you can't sell bullshit books anymore. So what you have to do is you have to push controversy. Now, I want you to follow me here now. Now, all three of these men, I want you to know that Marlon Brando's children, his daughter is, I think she may be in a mental institution, but his son is dead. Marlon Brando's dead. He only had two children. He didn't have a wife. The wife that he did have, she's dead. Okay. Check this out. James Baldwin doesn't have any heirs. Marvin Gaye has heirs, his children, but they just got out of a big dispute with, I forgot this little ho-ass man who was trying to use his music. Anyway, where I'm going with this is you have to understand Quincy Jones is a lover of the white woman. He is married to a white woman, and while he was telling all that business and spilling all that tea, he did not tell you that he married the hoe. That is the reason that, what's the guy's name that did Rosemary's Baby, that famous producer? Not Phil Spector. The other one who's, he lives in France. He won't come back to America because they have charged him with rape. Anyway, Quincy Jones married the hoe that all of the industry passed around, and she is the reason that this famous producer can't come back to America because she accused him of rape after popping mollies and getting high and giving her ass up to everyone in the industry. Now, after they passed her around and no one wanted her, Quincy Jones married her and had children by her. Why didn't he let us know what's up with that? When she got ready to write a book, they came out with the same old bullshit, talking about who's gay, who's lesbian. So what I'm saying at the end of the day, my brothers and my sisters, is that this is a propaganda campaign to sell a book. And the people that they picked, they selected these people carefully because there's no one left to sue their asses for this. First of all, Marlon Brando was a very prominent and promiscuous man. He was handsome, and he might have been bisexual. I don't know. The white man is naturally bisexual. As far as Richard Pryor is concerned, Richard Pryor was a comedian. He would say stupid shit all the time. He loved white women. Understand that? See, the white woman is going to be the death, burial, and degeneration of this black man here in Northern America. Because that is who the white man uses to clean his goddamn clock. Now, here he got this old, worn-out hoe. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Richard Pryor probably died because the bitch gave him something. Excuse my language here. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He had an immune system disorder. You get that from sex. Understand what I'm saying here now? So she needs to sell a book. First, understand that. And let me just end here and just say, people have to do all kinds of things to sell books and get shows popping now. They got to lie, act like they're wet, act like their marriage is broken down. They got to act like they own some other kind of shit. They done, you know, been hijacked by aliens. They fucking the mama, the daddy, and the dog. They got to do all this. Do you understand what I'm saying? No longer can an actor just use an agent to become popular. You got to do some way out ridiculous shit to get people's attention, because we are guess what? Our attention span is zilch. We have the attention span of 5-year-olds because of social media, and if the shit ain't interesting, we can watch some hood rat shit on Facebook, and it'll be more entertaining. So I hope that you all understood where I was going with this. I didn't mean to get on your platform and use profanity, but I just needed you to understand. These hoes be trying to come up.
Let me ask you this, Glenn. Peace, love, peace, you know, peace and life from the vein ready to. Let me ask you this, though. So you think, it sounds like you think Brother Jones is lying.
Well, let me tell you why I know he's lying. First of all, he was the biggest bottom. Why didn't he go into, why didn't Quincy Jones go into all the ass he had to sell in France? He and Bird. Why didn't he go in? See, I'm a reader. I'm a black woman that reads. You need to understand that Quincy Jones and Bird Miles Davis were heroin addicts. Now, the people in France have written plenty books saying that they sold their asses all over France. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
To get their instruments out of hock. To matter of fact, it was Quincy Jones that they said was the fuck boy of what is this other famous musician's name? It's in so many books. All you have to do is read about and watch the documentaries on the jazz movement in France. They were some of the biggest bottoms, you know, that there were. And so I don't understand why Quincy Jones didn't bring that up. Why didn't he bring up that Michael Jackson didn't start acting creepy until he started hanging out with him?
Oh, wow.
That's when he withdrew and started wearing glasses. Somebody said that Quincy Jones was fucking on Michael Jackson. Excuse my expression. So I'm not trying to hear shit Quincy Jones talking about. Okay? He just trying to help this white woman, this old ass snow bunny cat woman, sell some books because she broke. I'm not trying to hear it. I'm up on the game, and I know about the tricks. Okay? So listen, I'm. You all, you know, stay up. Peace be on you, and I'm gonna hang up.
I love it. I love it, Quinn. I love it.
Thank you so very much.
Very much more, baby. Appreciate you for calling.
You're very welcome, my sister. Very welcome, brother. So carry on. I just wanted to add that in. I'm gonna go ahead and hang up, okay?
All right, love. You better take care, Quinn.
You take care, too. Good night.
Well,
amen. It's a perspective, you know. That's why we're here. I let her know that they've been trying to get in for a minute, but I've, you know, 81 and the sisters, you know, share, you know, just her views on it, her views on the whole thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Ms. K? What's your views on it? You think Brother Jones is lying, or?
I mean, she said she done some reading, and then she had, I trust her research. I mean, you know, like I say, I was more alive then, and I could receive the rumors more better. You know what I'm saying? I had to ask my grandparents about fathers or something. Ask my mom or dad about my dad. Hey, did y'all hear Quincy was bottom? She said he was out there selling that international ass. She said he was out there selling ass out there in France. Pay for his musicians and stuff, or music or something, right? All type of that. So, I mean, wow. And I said, I wouldn't be surprised. He come off as that type, you know what I'm saying? Him, let me tell you somebody else too, Clive Davis. I'm worried about his ass as well.
No,
I'm scared.
See,
I'm
not going to need my thing is, you know, and I agree with the sort of like, and then, but see, nothing she said negates. You know, nothing she said in the gates, and I'm still feeling like, even if, you know, he didn't, you know, say none of that, but that don't take away that, so we said none of that is true that he said. Because even Richard Pryor said in his memoir, he said all of this himself. That's what I'm saying, you know what I mean? You know, I'll let the sister get around now, you know what I'm saying, let her get it out. But, you know, Richard Pryor said it himself, you know, in his book, at least in 1995, you know, about bisexual experience, and his friends knew that he was fucking on a man.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Book in 95. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay,
you're not
other shit.
And then, you know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then, you know, and then he said in the cover center, and then, you know, afterwards, his wife, you know, she said that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which obviously is, you know, the same white woman who the sister's talking about. Trying to get book deals and all of that, you know what I mean? But, you know, but Richard Pryor said in his own book
mm-hmm.
deal, you know what I'm saying? That, you know, that's why I'm like a lot. It ain't like this was a timing for it. So, like, that's my only whole argument, like, you know, with the queen, but, you know, she was ready to get off. But my only argument would have been with that was, why would she, you know, wait? You know what I'm saying? What's the point of waiting? Like, it ain't like that the Richard Pryor shit just stirred up. Quincy Jones just happened to do an interview, and the Richard Pryor name came up.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
They were like,
and that opened
the
door.
His whole intention was to slander his name, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's just doing an interview.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about 100 motherfuckers he encountered. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, and here's the thing. Like, I understand, like, sometimes, you know, to me, I think sometimes we don't want to accept that. You know what I'm saying? But that brother said that shit. He said it quite a few times.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, man, you set you free. I said, say the truth. So, truth that set you free.
Of some,
truth,
right?
Of some. I don't know what to take from that, but I'll be honest with you.
That's a fact.
She shot me with that one. I wasn't expecting that to come. I wasn't expecting to see it hit that. But I'm glad she said something about that. Okay, maybe I do some reading myself and figure out, you know, what's really going on with him and all the rest of these celebrities around here. So I'm sure all of them, you know, so they might take it, you know, they might have been experimenting some things back in the day. Like I said,
yeah,
I heard it was a wild dig. I heard the 70s was a wild decade.
That's what I'm saying. We weren't done, MK. We ain't just trying to get to the game, man.
We weren't done. I don't know what the hell happened.
Special shout out to 92.7 The Block, right out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Shout out to 92.1 Choice FM, my old girl Kimberly over there. I see you, Queen. Y'all make sure y'all remember March 24th, the expose gonna be at the Art House at Grand Park. Y'all follow at Peace Chef ATL. Check that out. You know, man.
I can't wait.
Yeah, man. You know, there's live art, entertainment, music, culture, and all the above. Out of my own girl, Chelsea. Again, it's at Peach Chef ATL. Miss K, I see you, Paula. We're going to pick it up at another day, Paul. I see you. We're going to pick it up at another day. She back. She ready for some more.
Understood.
I can dig it, Claire.
Man, we love her. Keep hope alive. That's all I got to say at this point.
I know, right?
Keep hope alive. And it's crazy
keep
world.
I'm a left.
And stay away from these fake friends. That's what we're going to do. We'll stay away from these fake ass friends. First issue.
Start them out, family. Again, I don't want to throw that back on. It's two type of people in this world. Those that got you and those that got you fucked up. You dig what I'm saying? The Vain Verde Podcast, family. Peace of life, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, the Vain Verde is being brought to you by www.coltdrippin.com. Long live everything, relaunching 2018. Streetwear and apparel and more, exclusive streetwear and apparel and more. That's www.coltdrippin.com. We are culture. Atlanta Custom Apparel. You need vinyl sublimation, need screen print done, want to put your RIP homies on the t-shirt, go over Atlanta Custom Apparel, holler at my brother Daoud, 1130 Euclid Avenue, right in your little 5 points, open Sunday through Thursday from 12 to 7, Friday, Saturday, stand open at 8 o'clock, y'all, again, Atlanta Custom Apparel, right in little 5 points, at 1130 Euclid Avenue, EULCLID Avenue. Chris Smith, multimedia.weebly.com. Logo designs, fly designs, brochures, book designs, editing, graphics. You like the graphics you seen on the Vain Verde YouTube channel? How about the graphics you seen on the Instagram? You feeling that on the Facebook? All that's being brought to you by my brother Chris Smith, multimedia.weebly.com. Again, Chris Smith, multimedia.weebly.com. Blue Seas Express and Catering, Monday through Thursday, 11 to 8, Friday to Saturday, Friday and Saturday, 12 to 10, Sunday, 12 to 5, 890 Joseph E. Boone Boulevard, Atlanta, Georgia, 30314, Blue Seas Express and Catering. We're talking about doing for self. We're doing for self. Come visit your supermarket, 766 Joseph E. Boone Boulevard, Atlanta, Georgia, 30314. Your supermarket, 766 Joseph E. Boone Boulevard, Atlanta, Georgia, 30314.
The Vain Verdict Podcasts. You know, they say, the truth is a hard pill to swallow. Bullshit, we say hold your nose and tilt your head back. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, everywhere at The Vain Verdict. GoFundMe.com/the-vain-verdict. Thank you for all the love and support.